Hello, lovelies. Welcome to this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. I look forward to sharing my channeled message with you today. And if you love it, please remember to like, share, review, and subscribe. Today, we're going to embark on a journey. Those of you who've been following the podcast for a while know that I am really into metaphysics. For those of you who don't know what metaphysics is, simply put, it is above the physical. It is when you take a story and you look for the spiritual message within it, for the message that attributes or contributes to our awakening. So today is Metaphysical Storytelling Volume 3, and we are going to talk about David and Goliath. Now, people think they know this story simply by saying the little boy slays the big giant. Hooray. And I mean, if that's all you can get from it, you know, underdog wins, great, good for you. But there's definitely more to this story. So to put the tale in a nutshell, David is playing harp. He is, you know, was a shepherd, and he ends up playing the harp for the king, King Saul. And King Saul is fighting against Goliath, who is just terrorizing the Israelites. And he becomes afraid because nothing is humanly working. The power of his army and things are not working. And so he decides to send David, this future potential king, to go and slay the giant. Now, Saul represents that part within us that functions under the limitations of personality and ego, attachment to the material, to the physical world. And so he comes to David with this oversized, cumbersome, ridiculous armor that's only going to slow David down, end up being, you know, sort of the tin can for his death. And so David turns him down. And David goes as David is, with a slingshot, ready to slay the beast the way that he knows how. In the end, he assesses Goliath's massive armor, which weighs more than most grown men, and he finds that there's an opening in the forehead, and he is able to shoot that stone and hit Goliath in the forehead and therefore defeat him. Now, this is an interesting story in and of itself when we think about the power to sort of run over a giant, right? Like, it's not always about how big we are, how strong we are, how old we are, how smart, how rich, how whatever. But when we get to the metaphysics of this story, there is so much more. So Goliath represents our error thoughts, all of the bullshit that's going on within our heads, the things some of you have heard me call the chattering monkeys. Also, our old beliefs, our training, our enculturalization. And this is different for each of us. It is a bully and boastful of its power. The tendency is to try to run this over the way that Saul would, to just push against it, to ignore it, to cram it down. This does not work. We need the power of David, the power of love and empathy to overcome it. David decides to use his own strengths. He utilizes the power of his words, of denials and affirmations, and he overcomes the giant within his own human mind. He is fearless against the giant, just as we must be. As we awaken, the ugly, the old, the bullshit comes to the surface. Our error thinking, the enculturalization of our parents, of our culture, of our religion, everything that we have ever been taught or believe comes bubbling up, and so often it is error. And if we let that giant frighten us, we will lose. When we do our work, when we call upon higher self to guide us, when we align with what feels true and we speak the truth, when we deny the old antiquated bullshit and remind ourselves, when we affirm the truth, our vibration changes. And that vibrational change is so strong that error is dissolved and passes away. So we have David, this shepherd, the taker of the sheep, the caregiver for them, the protector of them. Sheep represent that natural life that flows through us from spirit, that thing that is real and true, unadulterated by life and training. Whereas Saul is the action of the will that wants and is limited by personality and ego. Understand that part of us is going to fight back, especially early on in our awakening. It is going to fight us, to tell us to not have faith in the manifestation of our dreams, to tell us that we are ridiculous to believe in our own enlightenment. We must overcome this. The overcoming of Goliath by David represents our spiritual mastery over the material world. Our spiritual mastery after our own fear of our own wrong thinking. It is the war between the head and the heart, between our personal will and divine love. It is a battle for control, control of our joy, control of our thoughts, control of our destiny. What David has that is bigger and stronger than everyone else who has tried to defeat Goliath before him is consistency, faithfulness, and steadfastness. We are not going to crush the giant the very first day. That's probably not going to happen. We must be consistent. We must be faithful. And we must be steadfast. We can, right? We must recognize how ridiculous it is. And you've heard me say we should laugh at ourselves. We should laugh. We should laugh at Goliath when he parades himself in front of us, bragging about his power and making threats. We should laugh at our momentary loss of self-control where we allow ourselves to drown in the pit created by his nasty footprints. Because all of that parading hides weakness, insecurity, and fear. And ladies and gentlemen, remember what fear is. Think about the words F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. False experiences appearing real when they are not. They're just a scared beast wearing armor, showing a weakness that we can exploit. We can say, I see you, you giant freaking beast. I see you. I recognize why you are here, and I see why you frighten so many people. But you are not real. You are not true. The truth is, I am a being of higher consciousness here on this earth, having a human experience. And when I tap into the center of my forehead, to my third eye, I shatter all of the human disgrace, dis-ease, distrust, and I allow spirit to flow in through the crown of my head to connect with me right in the center of that third eye, so that I can walk this earth led by both this human body and spiritual wisdom, direction, and courage. Goliath relied on his armor, the protective power of material protection. People do this, the protection of money, the protection of success. I just spoke to someone yesterday. She has an unbelievable life. Everything is fantastic. But she says to me, I'll be happy when all of this is settled. And yet the success that she is having, the steps, the experiences, the encounters that she is having as she creates this vision that she had that is so unbelievably close to fruition should be her joy. David didn't need armor. He trusted divine intelligence. This allowed David to see the weakness in Goliath's armor, the weakness in the material, egoic bullshit. And he found that spot and he took those five smooth stones. Five of them. Five. Let me tell you what those five stones represent. The first is faith. Faith that there is more to life than material bullshit. Faith that there is more to life than what we've been taught, than what it says in any religious setting, than anything that is limiting. Faith in the truth that we can overcome the Goliaths within our own mind. The second stone is obedience. Not obedience to some dogma or doctrine, obedience to the truth within ourselves, that when we know it is wrong and we should tell it, no, you are not true, that we will do it, that we will deny the error and replace it with the truth. The third is service. Now, literal service, to be able to go into the world and give back is amazing. But I think it's important to recognize what it says in AA. I can thank my client Scott for sharing this with me. They don't require you to be of service. They require you to be fit for service. Think about that for a minute. Fit for service. To live a life that is an example to other people. To not be a hypocrite. To hold yourself accountable for what you know is true. David did this by leaving Saul's armor behind when he went to defeat the giant. The fourth is prayer. Remember that prayer is denial and affirmation. Jesus said we pray without ceasing. What do we do without ceasing? We think. When we are cognizant, when we make sure that we are caring for our thoughts, that we are denying the beasts and affirming the beautiful, angelic thoughts. Be clear. You hear me. I curse. I laugh. It doesn't mean we're saints. We're here to have a human experience, right? It means that we do not let the Goliaths of our mind, of our culture, of our religion, of our whatever, of the freaking government, of the news, we don't let the Goliaths bully us into submission. And the fifth is alignment to higher self. Being who we came here to be, and slaying any Goliath that tries to get in the way. He takes those five smooth stones and a slingshot. That slingshot represents a mindset of commitment, commitment to destroying error thoughts, error thinking, old beliefs, old bullshit, materialism, ego, whatever. And he hits him right in the forehead. Boom. The beast is dead. Now, he had five stones. There certainly is probably a part of the story where he misses a few times. Okay? We might miss a few times. That's where determination comes in. That's where the obedience and dedication come in. I will continue to try until I win. We must have boldness, courage, fearlessness. We demonstrate the truth. Spiritual thoughts, when they are held in mind and when we are determined for them to take root, they will face off against and defeat any beast. And if we fail, we try again. David had some confidence. He had some experience. He'd been dealing with Saul for a long time. These two had a history, and it wasn't pretty, right? David actually had a lot of opportunities to kill Saul, but he didn't. He decided that he would, you know, leave that up to highest good, right? In the story, it says in the hands of God, but that is highest good. I mean, when we pray for someone's highest good, when we wish highest good for those who have harmed us, they either learn or they pay with the karma of experience, with the multiple attempts of the universe to teach them. And as they fail, the lessons get harder and harder. Ultimately, Saul fell in battle. And David ruled, right? But before all this happened, David had already slain the lion. This lion came and ate all his sheep, right? He killed that lion, right? Lion represents the determination of ego to destroy our righteousness, right? The lion destroyed the sheep. The human thinking came and ripped apart his early beliefs in higher self. And through his determination and will, commitment, faithfulness, he killed the lion. You know, all of Goliath's power came from his ability to instill fear. He instilled so much fear within the Israelites that they thought there was nothing they could do. Recognize, okay? Metaphysically, the Israelites represent our illumined thoughts, the truth in our consciousness that is growing and budding, that is pursuing discipline and steadfastness. Goliath comes in and tries to bully the shit out of that. He says, that can't be true. Wouldn't it be easier if you just thought like every other sleepwalker on earth? He brags. He's vain. But bragging and vanity are sure signs of weakness. The beast of human material error thinking rises up and fights back as we awaken. We cannot defeat it like against like. We cannot feed it ugly for ugly, fear for fear. We defeat the beast with truth, with wisdom, inspiration, and empathy. We must say, I understand why you're here. I know where you're coming from. I recognize your beliefs and your experience. I appreciate that this feels real, but it is not. It is false. It is not mine. And then we replace it with the truth, the real. We fill the hole of his giant footprint so that we can then walk across it without tripping. Saul depended on material, outer world protection. So when Goliath didn't fall, he gave up in despair. It takes the power of love. It takes the power of David. The understanding, the empathy, and the steadfast fight against bullshit. We will overcome in our words and in our thoughts. We will overcome. We will defeat the beast. The king within us, who has strived all along to depend on the material world, will fall in the battle, and we will rule. In the story, David ruled for 40 years. In biblical terms, 40 is always a number of completeness. And in spiritual terms, it is cleansing, preparation, and goodwill. With our faith and determination, with steadfastness, which, for those of you who don't know, is a key principle within Egyptian religion, steadfastness. With that, we will defeat the beast, and we will walk this earth peaceful and enlightened. You can overcome. You will overcome. Never give up. Never surrender. Fight ugly with beauty, fear with love, and choose joy every step along the way. You will want to remember what this battle was like. You will want to remember the attitude that you held. Keep that head up high. The beast is just a scared child hiding inside of a tin can. There are cracks in the armor. You will find them, and you will grow. You will open the doors to each level of awakening as is fit for you in perfect time. Until next time, beloved, namaste.
Hi, my name is Connie, and I wanted to tell you a little bit of my experience and my relationship with Jennifer. When I first met Jennifer, it was a very emotional and intense meeting. That day when I had walked in the door, I could feel this charge of emotion and care and kindness. It was nothing short of amazing. Also that day, I received something that I never thought I would ever get. It changed my life, literally. Or that day when I left, I was a changed person. I had a new outlook on life. I was happier. I felt lighter. It was something I will always be grateful for. Since then, our relationship has changed. It's become one of the most incredible. I'm fighting for the words because I don't know if I can find the words that are big enough to express how much it means to me. You know, excuse me, I'm getting a little verklempt. The things that I've learned about myself, about the world around me, about my spirituality has been priceless, and the level of gratitude I have in regards to that is just immeasurable. I don't know how I would go on if this relationship wasn't in my life, but I know that I've learned so much that I would be able to go on, so I'm grateful for that too. I became a patron of the podcast because it gave me the opportunity to support and nurture something that nurtures my spirituality and me growing as a person and becoming my best self. I'll always be grateful for it. It'll continue to go with me throughout the course of the rest of my life. There's so much love that is put into this, and supporting its growth will benefit this world. Namaste.
I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. If you haven't already, come out and find me on social media. And if you're inspired by the podcast, please consider clicking that little green patron button at the top of the screen. Here, you can help keep us growing and flowing, and you can gain access to what I call Jen in real life. That is patron-only content. If you're wanting to learn more, I recently introduced educational sessions specifically to address people's questions that come up around the podcast. These are the only sessions available to new clients, and you can find details in the About section of my Facebook page. I want to send each of you light and love, clarity and wisdom, and know that whether you realize it or not, there's a little brunette with a podcast who's got your back. Until next time, beloved. Namaste.